It is first up for your Friday morning. Welcome in or welcome back, and thank you for being with us. Whether you're listening live on your radio, TSN1050.ca, or on the iHeart Radio Canada app, it's Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster. He will join us in 30 minutes. We'll look back on the team's selection of Christian Koloko from the University of Arizona and look ahead to the offseason. The Raps have a number of moves to make. And the general manager of basketball at TSN is our next guest. He is Jack Armstrong, and he's on the line now. What's up, Jack?
Wow, that's very nice, Aaron.
You like that title? You want to update the resume, the LinkedIn profile, Jack?
Well, I'll tell you what, if they want to give me the salary of that GM title, I'll take it. Fun night last night for the draft, and now the bigger stuff will start happening, late next week with free agency, and then things settle down after that. So it's always a fun time of year.
So let's start with the draft, and we'll get to the Raptors selection and what you make of it in just a second. But how surprised were you to see the moving and shaking at the top of the draft? Nobody saw, very few people anyway, saw Banchero going number one to Orlando. It was presumed that Jabari Smith was the pick all along, and there was switcheroo at the top in the last half an hour or so. What was your reaction to that, Jack?
Well, the first thing is, when you look at Oklahoma City, Houston, and obviously the first pick, Orlando, all of them are a good ways away. And, what you're trying to do is truly, it's a term used way too often, but who's that best guy on the board? And I just think they felt Banchero had the most upside. And I think there's a little bit of concern about Holmgren in terms of his size and he's long, but how strong he's going to be, how he'll hold up. I love his game. And then, I just think it came down to a comparison between a Jabari Smith and Banchero. And quite frankly, Smith went to not only two, but he went to three. So that says something, too, in terms of how people are looking at, the upside and what they think a guy's ceiling is. And your job isn't to look at a guy now and say who he is at this moment. You're trying to project 3, 5, 7 years out and say, what's this guy potentially going to look like? And it's having that eye for talent, that ability to project, and the ability also to say, what do we have within our organization, coaching style, developmental philosophy, and what's the best fit? And I think a lot of those decisions are made not only at the top, but at every pick.
Well, Jack, the Raptors didn't have a first-round pick because they moved it early in the season to part ways with Goran Dragic. So they sat with the 33rd pick. And with the 33rd pick, let's listen to who the Raptors selected.
With the 33rd pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Toronto Raptors select Christian Koloko from Douala, Cameroon, and the University of Arizona.
Jack, tell us what you know about Christian Koloko. It's a nice, it's a nice sort of fit with Douala, Cameroon, where Pascal Siakam is from. But the 7'1" shot blocking center, tell us what the Raptors got in him.
Well, first of all, you're looking at University of Arizona. They had a heck of a year this past year, and he was a big part of it. He's developed in his time there and gotten better and better. Obviously, he's a guy that you could throw the ball at the rim and he'll go dunk it. He's a rim runner. He's mobile. He's a good shot blocker, rim protector. And a guy that is, again, when you start projecting and you look at him now, obviously he's been Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12. His improvement has been significant year in, year out. He's very efficient around the basket. And to me, is he a guy that's a big, strong play with physicality guy, or is he going to outrun you? Score at the rim, protect, and be a guy that gives you some real good mobility and defensive flexibility. I think he's more of that. So he is more of what the modern day NBA game is in terms of you're not putting a guy on the block with his back to the basket and say, go do it. He'll find his opportunities in other ways. And I'm kind of intrigued by where he could end up being in a few years. The Raptors do a great job with using the Raptors 905 in terms of development tool. And I think you could see him this upcoming season kind of bounce a little bit between both, depending on how, roster scenarios play out with injuries and all that. But I'm sure he's going to get a big-time dose of game activity, which is what he needs and to continue to develop. But I'm excited about it. I like the pick. I think it makes sense for them. You'll always see certain draft boards that'll say, hey, you reach a little bit here and there. But I think how you have a guy drafted on your board is what matters, not what other people think.
Our guest is Jack Armstrong from the NBA on TSN. And we'll ask you this question, Jack, because Bobby Webster will not answer it. I can guarantee you that. There were some trade rumors surrounding OG Anunoby leading up to the draft. It was Chris Haynes who reported that the number 7 pick that was ultimately used on, I believe, Shaedon Sharpe, correct? The Canadian from London, University of Kentucky. And that was in the mix for a potential deal for OG Anunoby. What have you heard about how legitimate that rumor was? And do you think the Raptors ever contemplated moving OG before the draft last night?
You never know what's legitimate. I mean, and who's putting it out? That's the most important thing. What's the agenda of the people putting it out? I just know one thing. I like the trajectory that OG Anunoby is on, has been on. And if he can stay healthy, and that's the biggest preface that involved with him, if he can stay healthy. I mean, they need him. I said this at the end of the year last season. If you could get close to 70 games out of him, I think you have a much better sense of where he's at. I think you'll see even better things out of him. I like where he's going as a player. I think he's a great fit for their team and how they like to play. He's really smart. Plays the game hard and the right way on both ends, and he's a product of what you've tried to do as an organization. You've invested a lot in him, so to consider moving him, it's got to be for the right price. It's got to be for the right situation because this is you could say, well, 7th pick, this, that, the other thing. That pick's going to take a while. You're in a different phase. You're not Sacramento or, Orlando, one of these teams that are selling hope. I mean, the Raptors have been in the playoffs, what is it, 8 of the last 9 years? They've won a championship in that stretch. I like where they're positioned right now. I mean, they were the 5th seed in the East last year. And to me, when you start talking about trading an OG Anunoby, you want to make sure that makes sense in the big picture in terms of what you're trying to do in terms of team building, because you want to, one, be a playoff team next year, a winning team, and continue to build. I like the foundation they're laying right now, and OG's part of that. And if he's not going to be part of it, then the reason he wouldn't be part of it is because you think he's probably the best way to help you get to another gear, another level, and utilizing him as a trade chip. So to me, I people get all worked up over it. I'm perfectly happy with OG Anunoby. I love his game. He's a good young man. And if he's with the Raptors, that's awesome. And if they feel like that they can turn him into a chip that helps their organization take another step, then that makes sense too. But at this point in time, why wouldn't the other 29 teams look at him and say, you know what, I'm intrigued by him. He deserves to be a guy that teams are intrigued by, because I think he not only helps the Raptors be successful and where they are right now, but he would help any team do the same thing.
Jack, it was a pretty remarkable night for Canada basketball yesterday as well. We saw four Canadians get taken in the draft. I believe that's the third time. Sorry, the fourth year where four Canadians or more were taken in the NBA draft. In particular, two guys in the first round with Benedict Mathurin to Indiana and Shaedon Sharpe, like AK mentioned, to Portland. How awesome is this to see the growth of Canadian basketball start to really make its mark in the NBA?
You know, it's funny you were saying, I was thinking about it last night because the last time that happened, four or more, was 2019, right after the Raptors won the title. And I remember being in Brooklyn to do the draft. And just everyone was exhausted. We were running on fumes at that point because the whole, just the intensity of the playoff run and winning a title and then going to New York for a draft. And it was just a great night. You know, the afterglow, the excitement of the Raptors winning a title and then the celebration of the growth of the sport. And again, you see it last night. I just think it's marvelous. I think it just speaks volumes about where the game is and where it's come from and where it could potentially go. You know, and you mentioned it's the fourth time it's happened. And, you know, the only other country in that category is the United States, you know, and Canada is number two in the world in representation right now in the NBA. Behind the U.S. So to me, I think it things are positioned in a really nice way. You see the success of not only the younger teams, but the ladies teams as well. And now you hope that the senior, the national, you know, the Olympic team, the senior team can have that same kind of success as these guys mature and go through the program and represent Canada. So I just think it's great. And, you know, a big part of it, you know, you look back, the NBA coming to Canada when the Vancouver Grizzlies and Toronto Raptors came, and to see, you know, where basketball is now, you know, what is it, 27 years now, the NBA's been in Canada. And, wow, I just think the best is yet to come. It's great.
I really just credit the rise of Canadian basketball to bonjour and get that garbage out of here. Really,
you,
that's just really, it's just really,
you.
That's the answer. Jack, thanks so much for doing this. Have a great weekend, my friend. I'm sure we'll talk to you before NBA free agency kicks off next week.
That's right. You had me on first, and now you got Bobby Webster in a few minutes. So
you're eighth inning guy, Bobby Webster,
yeah, I'm the
Rivera.
I'm the warm-up act, you know, and then you go prime time. Your ratings will go through the roof in a few minutes.
But
I'm glad to do a little warm-up for you. So I hope I pass the audition.
Always, the best, needless to you're say. Thank you, Jack. That's Jack Armstrong from the NBA on TSN. Again, Bobby Webster, the general manager of the Raps, will join us in 15 minutes' time. James Duthie at 9 o'clock. And Connor McGahee, you may not know the name, but you've heard his voice on this radio station. He is the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche with some of the great calls of this playoff run. He's been fantastic. Really looking forward to chatting with him ahead of Game 5 tonight with the Avs looking to close out the Tampa Bay Lightning and win the Stanley Cup. Bobby Webster in 15 minutes. First Up continues. This is TSN 1050.